at Main 36910.
KIXI AM in Seattle. It's 10 o'clock.
CFCF Montreal.
Canada's own Olympic Association has disagreed with this country's restrictions against Taiwan. Association President Harold Wright says Canada's refusal to admit Taiwan as the Republic of China is a breach of trust. Wright says Canada agreed to admit all teams recognized by the IOC in 1969 when the games were applied for by Montreal. And Wright says politicians should stay out of the Olympics.
We want it to be a festival of sport and nothing else. We don't care where the athletes come from because of the youth are all the same. They haven't had any political education, and they're just interested in coming to the world's greatest sports event, and it's too bad that political decisions are made that are trying to sway the IOC one way or the other.
The president of the American Olympic team arrives in Montreal today. Bill Crum is to hold what are called crucial meetings in the Taiwan dispute. Al Pervin for CBS News, Montreal.
The United States has reversed a decision to pull out of the 1977 Davis Cup tennis tournament. The new American decision to play followed a vote by the International Lawn Tennis Association against excluding South Africa. It was political bickering over whether to ban South Africa because of its apartheid policy that prompted the initial U.S. walkout, a protest against the mixing of sports and politics. The Indonesian news agency Antara reports that as many as 5,800 people may have been buried in landslides last week when a strong earthquake struck the remote Indonesian province of Irian Jaya. So far, only 420 bodies have been recovered. More news after this.
Your name is Roy Tucker, and you're in jail for life. Suddenly, a man you've never seen before arranges your release, gives you more money than you've ever had, and reunites you with the woman you love.
I don't care what you're mixed up in, Roy. I just want to be with you.
All you have to do is follow orders. Because when you don't...
Help me, Roy. I'm scared. They'll never let us go.
You'll do anything to save your wife, won't you, Roy? And to save yourself. Now you're ready to kill the most important man in the world. Do it, Roy. The domino principle. When one falls, they all fall. The domino principle by Adam Kennedy. The spellbinding assassination novel about a conspiracy you have to hope isn't real. The domino principle. Soon to be a major motion picture. A Stanley Kramer production. The domino principle. Signet's latest paperback bestseller.
The members of the UN Security Council prepare for an epic debate to condemn Israel or to condemn terrorism. Representatives of the United States, Britain, and other Western nations have prepared a draft resolution for submission to the Security Council, which would condemn hijacking and terrorism, deplore the loss of life stemming from the Entebbe incident, and call for international agreements in dealing with terrorists. Predictably, Arab, African, and communist states agreed on a draft which would denounce Israel for a wanton act of aggression by Israel in violating the sovereignty of Uganda. The division along traditional lines is expected to end indecisively in an American veto of any proposed resolution of condemnation against Israel. Israel's UN representative, Chaim Herzog, said he will produce proof during the debate that President Idi Amin of Uganda was a willing and active conspirator in the plot to hijack the Air France Airbus. There are unconfirmed reports in Nairobi, Kenya, that the leader of Libya, Muammar Gaddafi, has sent 20 Mirage jets to Uganda to replace 7 destroyed by Israeli raiders over the weekend. Amin reportedly had no Ugandan pilots for the 7 planes when the Israelis arrived. The Secret Service has confirmed a report that Richard Nixon may make his first political appearance since his resignation 2 years ago. Mr. Nixon is supposed to appear at a fundraising affair next Monday in Yorba Linda, California, where he was born. Now this.
I've got bronchial asthma. I've also got a newspaper to get out. That's why I take Bronchaid tablets. They help keep my occasional asthma attacks away for hours. I tried Primatene tablets and they worked. But then I heard about Bronchaid. Bronchaid has an extra ingredient to help you get rid of congestion. Primatene doesn't have that. Bronchaid works for hours, so I can work for hours.
Bronchaid tablets do more to let you breathe easier. Use only as directed.
I'm Steve Garvey, first baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Baseball is getting toward midseason, and that means the All-Star game. There'll be plenty of top players from both leagues on hand. So be listening Tuesday night, July 13th.
The 43rd All-Star Game. You'll hear it all when CBS Radio Sports brings you live exclusive play-by-play radio coverage Tuesday, July 13th. It's baseball's big night of the summer. Listen wherever you are over most of these CBS Radio network stations.
The Viking spacecraft search for life on Mars is to be delayed again. For the second time, controllers at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena have concluded a proposed landing site is too rocky and uneven. The touchdown had been planned for the 17th. The scientists say a more attractive site has been picked. It'll take an additional 3 days for Viking to achieve the proper orbit for touchdown. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
This is KIXI in Seattle. A weather outlook calls for considerable cloudiness with showers through Friday. The highs in the upper 60s and lows about 60. In downtown Seattle, it's currently 62 degrees. The barometer falling, it reads 29.78. And taking a look at sports, Major League Baseball. In the American League, first of all, Kansas City defeated the Yankees by a score of 2-1. It was Detroit 2, Texas 1, Chicago down Boston 6-3. And Minnesota 8, Milwaukee 2. In the National League, Los Angeles edged Philadelphia 3 in a row, 6-5. Pittsburgh defeated Atlanta 9-7. Cincinnati 4, Montreal 3. Chicago blanked San Diego 10-0. San Francisco beat St. Louis 3-2, and the New York Mets defeated Houston by a score of 12-4. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is coming up next on KIXI. Time now, 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, curator of this curious collection of the mysterious and the macabre. We are told that the Lord created man in his own image. Therefore, it must follow that each of us is an image of the Lord. And since we are so various, so different in shape and size and color, you would think it presumptuous for any one person to say, "Behold, what I look like is the only true image of the Lord." And yet, so many people do that very thing.
Who is that man, Ben?
Him? Oh, he's just one of my slaves, my house boys.
What a remarkable person.
Remarkable? How? Just an ordinary, no-account, shiftless...
Oh, no, don't say that.
Well, but it's true.
I see a grandeur, a nobility.
Ah, you northern abolitionists. You keep seeing things that simply do not exist.
I tell you, that young man will move mountains.
Hey, Bob, you sure you ain't sick? It's all that boy can do to move his own 2 feet.
He will move mountains. That slave of yours has the power inside of him. The awful power. Ben, I can sense these things.
Mystery drama, The Black Whale, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Brock Peters. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Do you have a taste for things that are a little out of the ordinary?
Look, Doris, it has a clock in its stomach and it glows in the dark.
I think we should snap it up, Dick.
Do you like things that are fun but are also functional?
Look, Dick, this is fun.
Uh-huh, but is it functional, Doris?
Do you want to be the talk of the town?
Oh, Dick and Doris, we were just talking about you.
Then the Opel Isuzu is your kind of car. It's not ordinary, it's fun but functional, and people will talk about it.
Did you hear what Dick and Doris bought?
The Opel Isuzu, a dandy new small car. At your Buick Opel dealers.
Helpful hints. May I help you?
How can I keep my kitchen from smelling this summer?
Take out the garbage and bring in the Lysol spray.
Lysol spray?
If you spray the garbage pail every time you empty it, you'll kill the germs that cause those odors. Germs multiply faster in the heat, so you notice those odors more now.
I thought Lysol was just for odors after they got in the air.
Lysol spray disinfectant kills household germs on surfaces where they grow, including germs that cause odors.
So if I kill the germs, I pre-killed the odors.
Precisely.
Wheels are ever spinning, shining spokes are catching sun. There are people seeking nature, seeking health and seeking fun.
Last year, over 15 million new bicycles were sold in the United States, and over 70 million are now in use. Studies show that the leading causes of bicycle accidents are loss of control, mechanical and structural problems, and the entanglement of foreign objects in the wheels. So, make sure your bicycle meets the new safety standard.
So cycle of America, a craftsman of being told. There's a life that is riding on every bike that's sold.
For more information, ride bicycles, Washington, D.C., 20207. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
All men are created equal. However, some people have always considered themselves more equal than others. When our great republic was founded, there were some people who weren't even considered people. It had to do with the color of the skin. If yours was white, you were people. If your skin was black, you were a slave. You were nobody. Actually, a black person wasn't even considered a person, except for the purposes of government record keeping. And since a state was represented in Congress according to population, a slave was listed as 3/5 of a person. The year is 1820. We are in what is destined one day to become the state of Texas. Colonel Benjamin Borders, a wealthy farmer, is entertaining an old friend from the East. There is another person, or we should say, a non-person in the room. His name is Jim. He is one of the house slaves. And this is to be his own story.
About me, the conversation swirled and eddied. Mr. Robert Darcy was not one of the Colonel's usual visitors. He was a man of learning and great education. How I envied him. And I stood there listening because that man spoke of such fantastic things.
The power of the mind, Ben, the power of the mind can move mountains.
Oh, really? I'd settle for a more simple kind of proof. I'd like to see somebody's mind make that wine bottle lift itself up and pour its contents into my glass.
Under proper conditions, the right kind of mind could do it.
And speaking of wine, your glass is empty. Jim! Jim!
Yes, sir?
You wool gathering again, boy?
No, sir.
Weren't you trained? You know better than to leave a man's glass stand unfilled before him.
Yes, sir.
Well, pour the wines. Mr. Darcy to die of a thirst in my house.
Ben, I see you've been reading the books I sent you.
No, Bob. I'm sorry to say I ain't had a chance.
Somebody must have been reading the books. The pages are cut.
Well, nobody could read them, Bob. There's just me and the slaves in the house here.
Well, do any of your slaves read?
You ain't serious, Bob. You can't be serious. How could a slave read?
If he were taught, he could learn just like anyone else. Up in New York, Boston, I've met freed slaves who could read and write.
Well, yeah. But it was a trick.
A trick?
Well, you can teach a parrot to talk, can't you? It's all a trick.
The young man who waited on us.
Oh, Jim?
He appears to be extremely intelligent.
Well, that shows you. He's the dumbest one of all. There's a boy who just can't do nothing.
His mind seems to be on something else. He's in another world, Ben. A world of his imagination.
Pure and simple wool gathering.
No. I sense something else.
Yeah, you do? What?
Power.
Power?
The power to move mountains.
You all right, Bob?
Poor boy, he's like a whale.
A whale? Now, how'd the whales ever get into this?
There are those who claim the whale is the most intelligent living creature on Earth.
You don't care who you call intelligent, do you, Bob? First blacks, and now whales.
But you see, the whale is the captive of his physiology and his environment. He has no way to express his intelligence. He has no hands, he can't build, he can't live on land. He's a prisoner of the water.
You're getting too deep for me, Bob.
I'd like to help that young man.
Help him? How?
Send him to college.
College? Bob, I believe you've gone mad. But don't worry. I'm your friend. I'll keep your secret.
And so it went. A free and easy conversation. They disagreed on everything, but never lost their tempers. Never came to blows. What a wonderful way to be able to talk, and how wonderful also to have things to talk about. Would I ever be able to talk like they did? Would I ever have anyone to talk to?
Jim?
Yes, sir?
What are you doing?
I'm supposed to cut wood for the fire.
Why do you say that, Jim?
Because Master say chop and I'm supposed...
I know you were ordered to do it, but you could just as easily say, I was supposed to cut wood for the fire. Well, Jim?
Yes, sir.
How did you learn to read? You can read, can't you, Jim? Don't be afraid of me. The Colonel has an excellent library. I know. I selected it for him. However, he has neither the time nor the inclination to read. But I know someone has been reading those books, Jim.
Who?
You?
Yes, sir.
I was right. I sensed it. There is something about the transference of thought. I knew you could read. Don't ask me how. It has to be miraculous. Who taught you to read?
No one.
Then how did you learn?
It came to me. The books bound in bright red, in rich brown leather. Something, I don't know what, drew me to the books. Something seemed to say to me, come, Jim. Come to the books.
What was it, a voice?
No. It was a desire. But the markings in the books were so mysterious, so hidden. Will they always be kept from me, I asked. And then I saw a picture of a pistol. And there was the marking under it. And it was suddenly revealed to me, this must be the marking. This must be the sign that signifies a pistol. Then I understood. There is a sign, a word for everything.
Jim, that's remarkable.
Is it?
It's amazing. What a fantastic accomplishment. You should be so happy.
Why?
Because you've achieved such a tremendous victory.
Have I? Or have I become a whale? Yes, I have listened to what you said about whales. What good does my learning bring me? Like the whale, I can only flounder aimlessly and endlessly, to no purpose. What can I do? Where can I go?
Jim, you come with me right now.
But Master says I'm supposed to chop wood.
I want to see the look on Ben Border's face. You drop that axe and come with me.
Once upon a time, the deep red berries of the mulberry tree were as white as snow. The change in color came about strangely and sadly. The death of two young lovers was the cause. Pyramus and Thisbe lived in Babylon, the city of Queen Semiramis.
Well, I'll be.
Now open another book, Jim, to any page.
The Theorem of Pythagoras.
It's a trick. Open this book, Jim.
Sweet are the uses of adversity, which, like the toad, ugly and venomous, wears yet a precious jewel in his head.
I still say it's a trick.
That book, Jim.
All right, all right. Now, Bob, how you doing this?
Doing what?
I seen in a theater once a fellow was able to throw his voice and make you think that someone else was speaking.
Oh, admit that you were wrong, Ben.
About what?
About a great many things.
I still say it's some kind of trick.
What are we going to do about Jim?
Do about it?
A man with his brain. Can you force him to live out his life as a beast of burden?
Well, hang it, Bob. What am I supposed to do?
Sell him to me.
You mean you... A true blue dyed and a wool northern abolitionist like you? You don't a slave? This is the time of great happening.
I want to buy him so I can take him north and set him free.
Well, I ain't gonna let you go puffing and preening among your northern friends about how to the goodness of your heart you spent $800 to give a poor black soul his freedom.
You mean you won't sell him?
No, I won't sell him.
Why not?
Because I'm an honest man. He ain't worth a nickel. His value has just gone all the way down to absolute zero.
What are you talking about?
His head so full of Pyramids and Thisbe and Pythagoras and I don't know who and what all. How's he going to chop cotton or hoe corn or wait on table? Take him. Take him for what he's worth now. Nothing.
I could hardly believe it. It was like a story in the Bible. And it came to pass, and now it had come to pass for me. I was to go north, to freedom. Freedom. Soon, that great day finally dawned, when I could leave the farm and slavery forever. And I hitched the horses to the carriage, as I had done so many times before, but this time, I was going to ride in it, too. And we started out for Santa Lucia, a small port on the Gulf of Mexico, where we could take a boat to New Orleans, and from thence to St. Louis, and Cincinnati, and Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, and New York, and finally Boston. Those names, those great ringing names.
Is it much farther to Santa Lucia, Ben?
Oh, about 2 hours. I guess this is goodbye. Goodbye forever.
Oh, I don't know, Ben. We could still...
Oh, it's a long, long trip. And we neither of us grown younger.
No, we're not.
I'm glad our friendship lasted, Bob. Despite everything, we remain friends. Good friends. That's why I gave you Jim. To remember me by.
Ben, what's that? Cloud of dust moving very quickly toward us.
It's men. Men on horses.
Who are they, soldiers?
No. No, I'm afraid they look like bandits.
Bandits?
Yeah, the country's full of them. I didn't think they'd come so close to Santa Lucia.
Well, what are we going to do?
There's not much we can do, Bob. We can't outrun them. We can't outfight them. All we can do is wait.
And we waited. And as we stood there motionless and watched the cloud of dust grow larger and heard the approaching thunder of horses' hooves, something bright and happy inside of me suddenly became dark and sad. I knew I wasn't going to be free. I wasn't going to Boston with Mr. Darcy, because Mr. Darcy had a gray look in his face. The look that people get just before they die.
The look. In the old days, they used to say a man who was about to die had a certain look on his face. It was supposed to be the soul getting ready to leave the body. The soul waiting for the moment of release. Is Mr. Darcy going to die? Why? How? And if he does, what will happen to Jim? Well, nothing will happen to anyone until I return in a few moments with Act Two.
For many people, summer is a time of relaxation, family get-togethers, barbecues, and also bugs. Hi, Pat Summerall for True Value Hardware Stores.
They want to help you get rid of that summer bug problem with General Electric's remarkable Bug Light Bulbs. GE Bug Light Bulbs are specially made so that insects can't see their light. And since bugs can't see them, they aren't attracted to your area, as with normal bulbs. GE Bug Lights really cut down on uninvited pests. And there's more, too. For only $1.75 plus the label from a four-pack of GE Bug Lights, you can get a heavy-duty cookout apron that says, Head Cook, Don't Bug Me. Or buy a four-pack of GE Soft White or Inside Frosted Light Bulbs. The end panel from either package plus $2.50 will get you your own compact nylon folding umbrella. Find out about both GE bulb offers at participating True Value hardware stores. True Value, more than just a name, it's their way of doing business.
We don't expect much from handicapped children. We don't expect them to learn much. Sometimes we don't even expect them to go to school or learn to do things that will help them get along when they grow up. But handicapped children are pretty much like other children. If you don't expect much, they won't do much. If you expect more, they can do more. Most handicapped children can learn and do much more than most of us realize if we expect enough and if they get the special education they need. In this country, every handicapped child has the right to special education, whether his parents are rich or poor. If you have a child with a handicap, any kind of handicap, we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013.
A public service message from this station and the United States Office of Education.
Long before Texas was a state in our union, even before Texas was an independent republic, we're in the Texas that was still part of Mexico, a vast, wild country into which poured thousands of American settlers. And some of the wildness of this raw-boned country is about to erupt.
Who are they, Ben?
I recognize them now. It's Zalakane and his boys. Let me do all the talking. They only want money, so just do as you're told.
Help, Tom!
Well, Senor Zalakane, what can I do for you?
I am not Senor Zalakane. I am now General Zalakane.
Well, congratulations.
Yes, we are revolutionists. We will overthrow the government one day. And so, we would like you to contribute to the revolution.
Well, do I have a choice, you bloody scoundrel?
If you weren't such an old friend, I would cut your heart out. All your money into the hat. And your sino.
Empty your pockets, Bob.
And the watch.
The watch?
Si, senor, the watch.
But the watch, it would have very little value to you, and it has a great deal of sentimental value to me.
The watch?
Sir, let me explain. Bob, don't argue with him. Give him the watch.
But Ben, Lisa gave me this before she died.
The watch?
Let me explain to you, sir, why I did...
The watch?
No, I...
Ah! Why, you bloodthirsty animal!
It took a second. My dream was shattered and in ruins. Mr. Darcy was dead. Colonel Borders was lying on the ground unconscious with a bullet wound. Somehow I managed to get them both into the wagon, and I turned the team around and drove slowly home. Home. I had dared to dream of becoming an eagle. But in reality, I still away. Several months went by, and finally, Colonel Borders recovered from his wound. But he wasn't the same. Something seemed to have left him. He never mentioned Mr. Darcy's name until one morning.
Well, Jim.
Yes, sir?
Where'd they bury Mr. Darcy?
In Santa Lucia.
Jim, what did Mr. Darcy do to you?
do to me, sir?
Yeah, Jim. How'd he get you to read through all of the books? Well, what was the trick?
Oh, it was no trick.
Oh, I'll bet he hypnotized you.
No, sir.
I bet you don't even know what it all means.
I have read the monograph published by F.A. Mesmer, who...
That's enough.
Colonel, please. You promised Mr. Darcy you'd set me free.
I promised no such thing. I promised to sell you to him for nothing.
Well, that's the same thing.
He was my best friend. My only friend. He'd want you to be free, and I'll see that you do go free, but not now. I can't do it now.
Why?
Why? You question me? You dare question me? I'll give you your answer with a horsewhip. Jim, is it true?
Is what true?
Is it true you can read and write?
Yes.
Then you gotta help me. Now, open up that chest with my papers in it. That's it. Now you're gonna have to take care of all that, because I can't seem to concentrate. The words, numbers, they just dance on the paper. You gotta help me, Jim. You gotta help me.
It was the first time a white man had ever asked me to do something. I knew what it was to be told, but to be asked, that was something else. Something strange and new. I kept his records. I wrote his letters. And every day he became richer and richer. And every day I would ask him the same question. Colonel, when will you give me my freedom?
Freedom?
You promised me.
Yeah. Well, it's my intention to give you your freedom. It's just that the time ain't ripe. You need it here.
But, Colonel, I...
Oh, Jim, you're getting treated right.
Yes.
All you want to eat, well...
Yes.
Nice clothes. You live here in the house. You got a comfortable bed and linen, just like me. You know, Jim, you must be the only black slave in the world who sleeps with bed sheets.
But, Colonel, I...
Now, that's something, Jim. That's something.
The days went by, and I was getting no closer to freedom. The Colonel was thriving. With me to keep his records and watch his money, he was becoming wealthier by the month, and I still kept asking.
All right, Jim. I'm going to call your bluff.
Bluff?
What'll you have if I set you free? Well?
I'll have my freedom.
Well, free to do what? Starve?
No. I'll go north.
How'll you get there?
I can work my way.
You'll be kidnapped by bounty hunters.
I'll have my papers.
They'll laugh in your face and tear them up. They'll sell you as a runaway slave. And some Louisiana or Mississippi cotton planter will work you to death in his fields. Well, you still want to be free?
For the very first time, I felt fear crawling through me. What was this? Was I afraid? Afraid to be free? Well, maybe it wasn't fear. There were some very real advantages to my present condition. He was right. I had enough to eat, a comfortable home and the work. It wasn't at all difficult, and there was a wonderful collection of books. And so I thought of the North and freedom. And it suddenly seemed so far away. And then I heard that sound. And to a slave, it's the most frightening and melancholy sound in the world. It was a coffle, a gang of slaves being marched along the road, an endless caravan which grows larger and smaller as some are bought, some are sold along the winding road of slavery that snakes through the South. I looked at the faces, the dull, staring eyes, the hopelessness, the resignation, and of course, the ugly red welts of the whip.
Well, Colonel, how are things this year?
Oh, can't really complain, Mr. McClure.
Got some prize merchandise here.
No, not this time.
Anything you want to sell?
Nothing, really.
Nothing at all.
Tell me, Mr. McClure, what's the going rate for a slave who can read and write?
You'd have to pay me to take him. Got any good field hands?
No, none to spare.
Soon they'll be worth their weight in gold. Well, Colonel, see you next time around.
Luther, Tom, get him going. Everybody up. Let's go, move out.
Well, there, Jim, but for the grace, go you. All it would take to make it happen would be for you to be kidnapped by an unscrupulous bounty hunter, and there are plenty of those. Well?
But I'm not free.
Who's free? What's this freedom you talk about so much? It's the freedom to starve and to freeze. Jim, you just don't know how lucky you are.
Maybe I didn't. It was the very first time that kind of thought had ever stolen inside my head. We keep talking about being free, but if we were, where would we go? What could we do? What kind of work would I find to do? Freedom. It had always been a word that thrilled me. Now it frightened me. But one day, something frightened me even more.
Jim.
Yes, sir?
You didn't give Mr. Darcy any meat.
Mr. Darcy?
Don't stand there looking like that.
Colonel, Mr. Darcy isn't here.
Who are you saying, Jim? Ain't that Mr. Darcy sitting at the table big as life?
Colonel, Mr. Darcy's dead.
You lost your mind. What little bit of mind you ever had. You lost your mind. Jim, what am I doing here in bed?
You're sick, Colonel. You fainted.
I feel hot, dizzy. I can't move my whole right side. Jim, what's the matter with me?
I looked it up in the book. You have what they call a stroke. What? Something happens to the blood. It doesn't flow freely.
Freely? What happens?
Well, sometimes you get better.
And sometimes?
You don't.
Jim, ride into Santa Lucia. Bring back the doctor.
Colonel, the doctor can't help you.
He's got to help me. He's a doctor.
I read in the book that there's nothing anyone can do.
Oh, what do you know about it?
I have read as much as any doctor, and I tell you...
Now, Jim, you go get me that doctor. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll sign the paper. Paper that sets you free. Now, how's that, huh? Here, bring in some paper and a pen and ink. And while you're gone, I'll write the document. Now, you hurry, Jim. You hurry.
I galloped all the way to Santa Lucia and all the way back with the doctor. But we returned too late. He was dead. The colonel had died. And there was a sheet of paper clutched in his hand. But it was blank. Not a single word had been written in it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're now selling the estate of our dearly beloved and recently departed friend, Colonel Benjamin Borders. And to begin with, we got us as prime a stock of living merchandise as there is in the entire state. I begin with Jim here. How old are you, boy? Cat's got his tongue, but he's a well-trained hard worker. Use them in the house, in the field. Look at them muscles. Now, will somebody open the bidding at $400?
$750.
Well, it's Mr. McClure.
Yes, sir, it is. Ain't got time to waste with nickel and dimes bidding. I know what it's worth and what I can get, and I'm a busy man.
I got $750. Do I hear another bid? Another bid. Well, then, you got yourself a bargain there, Mr. McClure.
Come on, boy.
Down the road, I could see them, the coffle, the poor, wretched, terrified slaves in the coffle. In a few moments, I would be one of them. Yes, I had always been a slave from the moment of my birth. But this would be a kind of slavery I had never known before. This would be the naked and violent slavery I had dreamed of in my nightmares. And suddenly, I was no longer afraid of freedom. The colonel's horse, Jupiter, was standing nearby. Another piece of flesh, like me, waiting to be sold to the highest bidder. But a superb piece of flesh, the fastest in the county. Before anyone could realize what was taking place, I was on his back. Run, Jupiter! Run! Run like you never ran before! You're running for freedom!
Freedom, the magic word. But where is there to run to? The North, the friendly North, is so many thousands of miles away. And all around is dangerous country and even more dangerous men. Freedom, it's a long way off. But the longest journey always starts with the very first determined step. I shall return shortly with Act Three.
At the Opelie Suzu Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Opelie Suzu Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Opelie Suzu.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Opelie Suzu, a great new little car at your Buick Opel dealers.
Hot dogs, Ed. Pass the hot dog down to the lady with the purple T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, pass it down.
Watch out for the mustard.
Oh, sorry.
May I offer you wet ones?
Me too!
Go on, help yourself. There's plenty of them. That's why I carry wet ones Newport Pack to ball games. Fits right in my purse. The moist towelettes pop up fast when I need them. Nothing to unfold or unwrap.
Hot dogs here. Get your hot dogs.
Hey, pass back my wet ones.
Wet ones new Port-A-Pack, the 30-sheet flat pack that fits in purse or pocket.
I live on the street with my mommy and daddy. I have a little sister, too. It's a lot of fun, most of the time. Except when my little sister takes my toys. She's yucky. Our family had a problem once, and Mommy and Daddy were upset with each other a lot. My mommy called the people at the Mental Health Association, and they helped us. I guess Mommy didn't know what to do, and the Mental Health Association gave us information and several places where we could go. I bet they could help anybody. Mommy said she found them in the telephone book. They were so nice. Daddy said they help people with all kinds of problems. I bet they could help you if you needed it. I wonder if they could talk to my little sister about playing with my toys.
Your Mental Health Association. People who care. People who can make a difference.
Extremely complex young man. His name is Jim. That's all. Just Jim. Black slaves had no family names. Actually, they had no family. In reality, they were nobody. They were nobody until they called attention to themselves, and they could only do that by breaking the established pattern of their lives. And Jim is doing that right now. He has just escaped.
I see nobody caught him, Sheriff.
Mr. McClure, he does have the fastest horse in all of Texas.
He's my property. I paid for him. I expect you to return him to me.
Oh, we'll get him.
Why ain't you organizing a posse to ride him down?
Well, now be reasonable, Mr. McClure. I'm going to deputize a few good trackers. And they'll manage to come up with
it. I want action. I'm entitled to the protection of the law. I've never seen a finer piece of flesh in all the years I've been doing business. I gotta get him back.
Freedom. This was freedom. This terrible wilderness where nothing could live. But the cruel sun broiled the body by day and the cold, lifeless moon froze the blood at night. No food, no water. And one morning, Jupiter disappeared. I don't know. I awoke and my horse was gone. And I knew that I was gone, too. I was too weak to walk or even to worry. So I lay on the ground to wait. To wait for freedom. And suddenly, she was there, sitting on her horse. A woman, a white woman, pointing a rifle at me. And two men, black like me, slaves like me, were with her.
Who are you, boy? What are you doing here? Where are you bound for?
Freedom. Freedom.
Wasn't that? What are you saying?
Let me dwell in freedom's house.
You look like a runaway to me. Mose, Henry, get him up on his feet. We'll take him home and find out who he belongs to.
Let me dwell in freedom's house and let them call me freedom's child.
All right now, that'll be enough of that.
Solitudinem fecant pacem appellant. They make a desert and call it peace, but there is no peace. No peace in the desert.
All right, you're crazy. But you're smart enough to eat. I see you cleaned up that place.
I kept the books. I did the accounts. I wrote the letters. I paid the bills.
You're crazy in the head from the sun.
Let me keep your books, ma'am.
What are you saying?
Let me teach your children Latin and grammar and algebra. Oh, I don't want him to catch me. He'll hunt me down.
Who's going to hunt you down?
He has a whip. He holds a whip in one hand and a chain in the other. Save me. Save me from him. I'll make you rich, rich. There was a broiling sun. The freezing moon, the black whale drowning in a sea of desert sand. And then the sun set, and the moon went down, and the black whale suddenly became a black man, and he was lying on a pile of straw in a small, dark hut, and a white woman was standing there, looking down at him.
Well, boy, you look a lot better.
Yasm.
You sound a lot better, too. Where'd you learn how to talk like a Yankee gentleman?
Please, Missy, I don't mean no harm.
Yes, Henry, what do you want?
Miss Jenny, ma'am, a gentleman to see you up to the house.
To see me? What about?
It's Mr. McClure, ma'am.
Oh, Mr. McClure. So you're running away from Mr. McClure.
Yes, ma'am.
I knew you was a runaway. I knew it.
Please, ma'am, don't give me up to Mr. McClure.
And why shouldn't I?
Please, I'll die. Hide me. I'm not just an ordinary field hand. I'll work for you the way I did for Colonel Borders. Don't turn me over to Mr. McClure.
Did Mr. McClure pay for you? Well?
Yes, ma'am.
Then he's your master. And it's my duty as a law-abiding woman, as a religious woman, to return you to your legal, rightful owner.
You call yourself a law-abiding religious woman. But what laws do you follow? What religion do you obey? Who gives you the right to treat me like an animal? Look at me.
You ignorant, arrogant woman. I'm a man. I'm a man like your husband, like your father, like your son. I have the same heart, the same blood, the same soul.
Henry, shut his mouth.
Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of my brethren, you have done it unto me.
I said shut his blasphemous mouth. Henry, don't you dare let him leave this hut.
Henry.
No, I knows what you're going to ask me. Just don't, that's all.
I've got to escape.
Miss Janice, keep me alive.
You'll kill me. Mr. McClure will kill me.
You better off dead. We're all better off dead.
No, we're better off free.
Don't you worry none about it, boy. You'll be free soon enough.
Oh, Mr. McClure.
Morning, Miss Thompson. Got to run down a young buck. Lost him about a week ago. Kind of tall. No fat on him, but good muscles. Trailed him up into this vicinity. Was wondering if you might have seen him.
Runaway? No. I haven't heard anything.
Well, I'm much obliged to you, Miss Thompson.
I hope you find him.
Oh, I'll find him. If I have to spend every penny I got in the rest of my life. I'll find him.
I ought to have you hanged. Better, burned as a witch.
Why do you say that, ma'am? Why?
Because you bewitched me. You have a strange power. Somehow, you prevented me from telling Mr. McClure you're here on my property. What did you do to me?
I did nothing.
I was ready to tell him you were being kept here. And the words refused to come out. You cast a spell on me.
No. You say you're a law-abiding woman. A religious woman.
And I've been one all my life until today.
That's why you saved me from slavery. It's true. Something said to you, save him. Deliver him from slavery.
Oh. Whatever. However... That's what I done. Well, now you're free. Get going.
What did you say?
You're free. Go.
Go? Where?
Go to your freedom. Well, go on, get.
No, don't make me go out there. Not into that desert.
You want to be free, don't you?
Let me stay here with you. I'll make you rich.
Oh, shut up. Henry, he can still help you in the fields. We'll keep him.
Please believe me, ma'am.
Get him another shirt and a hat and set him to plowing.
Yes, Miss Jenny, ma'am.
And you mind Henry now.
What's your name?
Jim.
Is you saying the truth, Jim? Can you read and write? Do you know all them other things?
Yes, it's the truth.
Then go away. Go away from here.
What are you talking about?
You gotta go to freedom.
Freedom? What do you know about it?
I knows one thing. You free now. Yeah, free. You ain't in the dark like all the rest of us. You read, you write, you can make things. You can talk. You can't stay here, die here for nothing.
I don't want to go. I'm afraid.
What good are you? Go, be somebody, get.
No, not now. Mr. McClure's out there.
Mr. McClure, always be out there. Look, I'll get a band with meat and bread and water and a horse.
Come with me, Henry.
No. I'm free. Not yet. Maybe never. But you get.
I need more than food and water and a horse for my freedom, Henry. I'll need that rifle. It was a wild, arid wilderness. And I didn't know where it ended, but I knew that I must keep going north. I was no longer running to freedom. I
had freedom. I was a free man seeking a free people. I was busy with my thoughts, so I didn't see him there waiting, sitting on his horse with the gun in his hand, until I was almost upon him.
All right, boy. Off that horse, because I'm going to whip you to within 1/2 inch of your life.
You're not going to whip anybody.
Get off the horse.
No.
No. I warn you, don't you reach for that rifle, boy. You hear me?
I heard you.
I can pull this trigger before you could even level that gun.
You can, but you won't.
Don't try me.
What good am I to you dead?
Take your hands off that rifle. I'll blow your head off.
You won't blow the head off of $750.
Drop your rifle.
You better shoot me now, quick, while you still have the chance. You can't do it. You just can't believe I dare to kill you.
And you won't. You know you'll be hunted down like an animal.
But I am an animal. You can't believe what you're seeing. A black man who dares to point a gun at you.
Nah, you ain't stupid. You know you can't get away.
But it has to begin. Somewhere. Sometime. With somebody.
Just put the gun away. You're only making it worse.
No.
Get off that horse.
Move aside. Oh. Goodbye to you, Mr. McClure. It had to begin somewhere. Sometime. With somebody.
And where Jim went, and whether or not he survived the hardships and the dangers of the wilderness, must remain a mystery. And we tell this story during these times when our minds are concerned with the birth of freedom in our country, to take the measure of how far we have come, and perhaps to consider how far we have yet to go. I shall be back in a few moments.
I've got bronchial asthma. I've also got a newspaper to get out. That's why I take Bronchaid tablets. They help keep my occasional asthma attacks away for hours. I tried Primatene tablets and they worked. But then I heard about Bronchaid. Bronchaid has an extra ingredient to help you get rid of congestion. Primatene doesn't have that. Bronchaid works for hours, so I can work for hours.
Bronchaid tablets do more to let you breathe easier. Use only as directed.
It's a national calamity. At the age of 200, these United States have no national flower. We have a national emblem, a national anthem, even a national debt, but no national flower. Citizens, close the flower gap. Vote during the national flower election at any FTD florist. He has flower candidates and ballots. Vote at your FTD florist. Vote before July 31st without obligation. Vote for apple blossom, azalea, black...
What can cause hemorrhoids?
Strenuous activity, pregnancy, constipation, change in diet.
Oh, well, are pain and itching symptoms?
Sometimes. If you suffer occasional pain and itching of hemorrhoidal tissues, use Preparation H to relieve discomfort for hours in many cases. And Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation.
You know, I'll try it.
Use only as directed. Preparation H comes in ointment or suppositories. Relieves pain and itch. Helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues.
I'm Joanne Woodward on behalf of the National Society for Autistic Children. Autism is a neurological disorder that affects behavior and communication. With proper research, education, and care, these children can learn and have a life of dignity. They deserve a chance. Please write National Society for Autistic Children, Post Office Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
Endlessly, the prisoner of the sea. But how many millions of whales there must be in our midst, in our own world? For there are other cruel seas that act as a prison. Ignorance is a sea, and poverty is a sea, and superstition is a sea, and hatred is a sea. And until a way is found for all men to emerge from these cruel seas, all of us are in danger of drowning. Our cast included Brock Peters, Brett Morrison, Lynn Hamilton, Marvin Miller, and Ken Lynch. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and True Value Hardware Stores.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Next on KIXI, considerable cloudiness with showers through Friday, the highs in the upper 60s, and lows about 60. In downtown Seattle, currently 62 degrees. The barometer is falling. It reads 29.78.
For bright and beautiful music, this is KIXI, Seattle.
The news is next time at KIXI, now 11 p.m.
CBS News. Thursday morning, Ronald Reagan addresses Republican delegates in Fargo, North Dakota, in his bid for their support. I'm Rita Sands reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Terry Drinkwater has a report on the candidate's progress.
Reagan, Wednesday night, in a series of meetings behind closed doors, tried to persuade North Dakota delegates that he's the man. And when the groups of state delegates came out, there were indications the challenger had made some progress. He is trying to overcome an effort by the Ford organizers in this state who propose 10 Ford delegates, 2 for Reagan, 2 leaning to Ford, and 4 others undecided. Reagan's goal here is close to an even split of the 18 National Convention delegates to be chosen from North Dakota. Most political experts here expect in the end Reagan will be slightly behind the president, perhaps Reagan's 7 delegates to Mr. Ford's 11. The numbers are small, but every delegate counts. The race is so tight. This coming morning, Reagan will address the state GOP convention, his last effort here to sway the undecideds. Terry Drinkwater, CBS News, Fargo, North Dakota.
Jimmy Carter attended probably his last fundraising dinner in Hollywood, Florida, Wednesday night. He told his supporters he was not afraid of becoming president and does not take his candidacy for granted. Carter said his staff has advised him to pick a politically expedient running mate, but said he wants someone who can govern the country in his absence. He'll be meeting with more prospects Thursday, Senator John Glenn of Ohio and Senator Walter Mondale of Minnesota. He said he'll also be arranging meetings with Representative Peter Rodino of New Jersey and Senator Henry Jackson of Washington. And Carter says Senator Frank Church is still in the running, although no meeting has been announced. Former President Richard Nixon is scheduled to visit Yorba Linda, his birthplace, next Monday to appear at a fundraising event for Representative Charles Wiggins. It will be Mr. Nixon's first political appearance since he resigned the presidency 2 years ago. Now this.
Here's news about how you can get a free package of Wonder hamburger buns when you buy Hunt's Manwich sauce. They're yours when you take advantage of the great Sloppy Joe offer featuring Wonder Buns and Hunt's Manwich sauce now at participating grocery stores. To make great-tasting homemade Sloppy Joes, just brown your fresh ground beef, add a can of thick, tomatoey Manwich sauce, and spoon onto fresh-baked Wonder Buns. Mmm, delicious. Look for the Wonder Buns and Hunt's Manwich display and find out how to get a package of Wonder Buns free.
I'm Steve Garvey, first baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Baseball is getting toward midseason, and that means the All-Star game. There'll be plenty of top players from both leagues on hand. So be listening Tuesday night, July 13th.
The 43rd All-Star game. You'll hear it all when CBS Radio Sports brings you live exclusive play-by-play radio coverage Tuesday, July 13th. It's baseball's big night of the summer. Listen wherever you are. Over most of these CBS Radio network stations.
K. Canada's own Olympic Association is disagreeing with the country's restrictions against Taiwan athletes' participation in the Montreal Olympic Games. Canada says it might hurt their relations with mainland China, but the Canadian Olympic Committee says the Olympics should be a festival of sport and have nothing to do with politics. The president of the American Olympic team arrives in Montreal Thursday to hold what are called crucial meetings in the Taiwan dispute. Because there's a chance of creating a gasoline shortage this summer, the Environmental Protection Agency has put off until October reducing the lead in gasoline. Stanley Legros, Assistant Administrator for Enforcement, said it should help clear the air.
The agency considers airborne lead to be a substantial health threat. We want to move as quickly as is prudent to implement the phase-down schedule and to remove the lead from the air.
Legros says approximately 90% of all the airborne lead comes from auto emissions, and if it's absorbed into the body in sufficient amounts, it can cause anything from a disturbance of vision to mental retardation. Viking's landing on Mars has been postponed until at least July the 20th. New radar readings show the target area in the Northwest Territory is rougher than photographs had shown. Now this.
Your name is Roy Tucker, and you're in jail for life. Suddenly, a man you've never seen before arranges your release, gives you more money than you've ever had, and reunites you with the woman you love.
I don't care what you're mixed up in, Roy. I just want to be with you.
All you have to do is follow orders. Because when you don't...
Help me, Roy. I'm scared. They'll never let us go.
You'll do anything to save your wife, won't you, Roy? And to save yourself. Now you're ready to kill the most important man in the world. Do it, Roy. The domino principle. When one falls, they all fall. The domino principle by Adam Kennedy. The spellbinding assassination novel about a conspiracy you have to hope isn't real. The domino principle. Soon to be a major motion picture. A Stanley Kramer production. The domino principle. Signet's latest paperback bestseller.
The Palestinian Guerrilla Command reports that Syrian artillery has been supporting a Christian advance in the north of Lebanon and cutting fuel supplies in the south, where a Swedish journalist says Syrian guns shelled a refinery near Sidon, whose tanks hold one of the last leftist sources of fuel. It is not known if the fuel stocks were destroyed. Rita Sands, CBS News.
This is KIXI Seattle, where the time now is 6 minutes past 11.
This is your friend in music. KIXI, with bright and beautiful music.